Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, Patriots, to another episode of The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Super excited to have you join me as usual. Thank you so very much for giving me the opportunity to speak into your life and to swap ideas and give you my perspective on the current American haps that are going on. So excited for that opportunity. Now, if you are someone who has been with me from the beginning or just last week or somewhere in the middle, I just want to extend a heartfelt and genuine thank you so very much for your support and your loyalty. I enjoy having you. Please continue to do so by coming back, tuning in, telling someone else about the show. I really appreciate the support. It helps to grow the show. Now, if you're brand new, I always say, and I mean it every time I say it, you picked an excellent time and episode to join me. I am absolutely appreciative. I want you to do the exact same. If you would, tell someone else about the show, share it, and bring somebody else back with you next time. Now, whether you are a loyalist or brand new, I have an ask, and it is always this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, to which I am so very grateful for their platforms for hosting the show. Now, we need to get into what the heck is going on 6 weeks into his presidency. And there's never, ever a dull moment. Even when the man is sleeping, I believe something is going on. Like, I bet you there's something going on in his dreams. I mean, this is a tireless president, and we are absolutely so excited. I'm very appreciative of the president that we have and his efforts, but sending tons of support. Now, let's start with a video.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean. And don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
You don't know that.
God bless. You will not have a war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
You're
in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
You will
good.
Feel influence.
We're going to feel very I'm good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed
from
yourself
very,
to be in a very bad
very
position, and he happens
war.
To be right about
from
it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not
Mr.
in a good position.
I don't have
the cards right now. With us, you start
I'm
having
not
cards.
Playing cards.
Right now, you
I'm
don't. Yeah, you're
serious,
playing cards.
Mr. President.
You're playing
I'm very
cards.
Serious.
You're gambling
I'm
with the lives of
war.
Millions of people.
You think,
you're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country.
I'm
that's
with
back
all respect to you.
Far answer. More than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once this
a
entire meeting?
Times.
No, in this
Even
entire
today.
Meeting, have you said thank
Even
you?
Today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
That, of course, was President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance, who were making it abundantly clear during their White House meeting with President Zelensky of Ukraine that the days of blank checks and endless U.S. taxpayer money flowing to Ukraine are over. We're putting a period right there. We are stopping it. We're throwing up a wall. Under the Biden administration, you know, the U.S. bank is closed. Okay. And I love that. Under the Biden administration, however, in comparison, Zelensky was handed a limitless stream of funding with little accountability, acting as if American resources were his to claim. Now, that entitlement, and that's what it was, he was very entitled. He had become very entitled. But that entitlement shattered when Trump took charge, of course, pulling the plug on further reckless spending and declaring enough is enough, drawing the line, putting up the wall, shutting down that bank. America will no longer be Ukraine's ATM, while our own borders remain unsecured and our economy suffers. The difference is very clear. It's crystal clear. Anybody could see it. Biden was willing to sell out American interests, while Trump is putting America first. And if you're getting tired of hearing that, you're going to have a rough year. Yep, on rough 4 years, because Donald Trump is absolutely putting America first. Unlike the reckless war hawks in Washington, however, Trump is not interested in dragging this war out indefinitely. really growing tired of the endless wars. He understands completely that real leadership means pursuing peace, not fueling endless conflicts. Ukraine has received over $350 billion in U.S. aid, yet there is little to show for it besides prolonged bloodshed and more demands from Zelensky. Now, you can put that blame on Putin. I don't know where you're going to place that blame. I just know that this blank check that America writes for these foreign supposed adversaries needs to stop. Trump is not abandoning Ukraine. Okay, let's not make that statement. That's not what's happening here. But he is making it clear that America's role should be to help broker a resolution, not fund an unwinnable war. There is a distinctive difference there. We need to make sure it is set. Let me say it again, as a matter of fact. Donald Trump is making it clear that America's role should be to help broker a resolution, not fund an unwinnable war. While Biden and the Democrats were content to funnel billions into a bottomless pit of foreign aid, Trump is committed to finding a path forward with that is secured in stability and self-reliance for Ukraine, right? Rather than keeping them on permanent life support. Zelensky's response to this shift in leadership was nothing short of ungrateful. And you saw, everyone has heard it, everyone has seen the clips. We're going to do it here on the show today in case some people missed it. Instead of recognizing America's overwhelming generosity, and adjusting his approach, he acted entitled and bitter when he realized the blank check was being ripped up. Watch the video.
Your country is in big trouble. Wait a minute. No. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning. You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks in this cabinet, and not only in this cabinet.
We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted for your
president. We gave you military equipment, and your men are brave, but they had to use our military.
What about West?
If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days. I heard it from Putin. In 3 days.
And as you can hear, the $350 billion. Even worse, Zelensky reneged on a crucial mineral deal that would have benefited both the U.S. and Ukraine. A clear sign that he was happy to take American money, but unwilling to honor commitments that actually helped America in return. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is essentially what needs to stop. America constantly funneling and sending out aid and always in dollars, right, to these foreign countries, and we get nothing in return. That is not at all how Donald Trump operates. And so they better get used to that, right? We will get something in return. If we get nothing, if nothing is reciprocated, then nothing goes out. This behavior is not just disrespectful. It proves that Ukraine's leadership was never interested in a fair partnership, only exploiting American goodwill for as long as possible.
Today, you don't see all the things that led up to this. So let me explain. The president's been very clear. He campaigned on this. He thinks this war should have never started. He believes, and I agree, that had he been president, it never would have happened. Now here we are. He's trying to bring an end to this conflict. We've explained very clearly what our plan is here, which is we want to get the Russians to a negotiating table. We want to explore whether peace is possible. They understand this. They also understand that this agreement that was supposed to be signed today was supposed to be an agreement that binds America economically to Ukraine, which to me, as I've explained, and I think the president alluded to today, is a security guarantee in its own way, because we're involved. It's now us. It's our interests. That was all explained. That was all understood. And nonetheless, for the last 10 days, in every engagement we've had with the Ukrainians, there's been complications in getting that point across, including the public statements that President Zelensky has made. But they insisted on coming to D.C. This agreement could have been signed 5 days ago, but they insisted on coming to Washington. And there was should have been a very clear understanding. Don't come here and create a scenario where you're going to start lecturing us about how diplomacy isn't going to work. President Zelensky took it in that direction, and it ended in a predictable outcome as a result. It's unfortunate. That wasn't supposed to be this way, but that's the path he chose. And I think, frankly, you know, sends his country backwards in regards to achieving peace.
Trump's decision to cut off the endless war funding is a necessary course correction for America. The time for reckless spending on foreign conflicts while Americans struggle at home is over. That is a done deal with this president. If Ukraine truly wants peace, and if they really, truly want this to end, if they truly, truly want peace, it must stop acting like a dependent state and start working towards a resolution. You know, I don't understand this whole entire notion. All this dependency on America, we worked. We are a young nation. We are so much younger than most of the nations on the globe. We worked to get to where we are. We're not number one because we trampled into it. We didn't fall into it. We didn't ask for aid from other countries. We didn't exploit their money. We worked. We fought wars. Millions of people died for the Constitution. Millions of people died for America to be where it is. And all we're saying is that we want other countries, other states to do the same thing, to have some pride in their own countries and not depend on us and all that we work for to make that happen. And Trump and Vance have made it clear. America will always support its allies. Absolutely. We are a big, loyal friend. We are a powerful, big, loyal friend, but it will not be at the expense of our own people, not at the expense of Americans. This is the leadership America needs, strong, unapologetic, and committed to putting Americans first, just like all the other nations do. They bleed us for our money, but they still put their people first. Okay. That's what's installed here with the Donald Trump and a J.D. Vance team. And I, for one, am all for it. And speaking of that, there is a reflection from the American people that says that they absolutely love what Donald Trump is doing because his approval ratings have been surging. They are surging as he delivers on the promises that got him elected in the first place. Now, according to recent polls, Trump's approval has jumped 10 points from his first term, now sitting at 46%. Actually, I apologize. Sitting at 58%, according to Quinnipiac University, with many Americans standing firmly behind his America First agenda. Meanwhile, an Atlas Intel poll shows him at 50% approval, higher than Biden's last rating, demonstrating, of course, that the American people are embracing his leadership with renewed confidence. They feel this time around so very comfortable with the Donald Trump at the White House, at the helm, leading the country, providing the vision for America First. Trump has proudly affirmed his overwhelming electoral mandate, of course. He never takes an opportunity to let everybody know and to boast on himself, which he absolutely should. He should toot his own horn at every opportunity he gets, securing 306 electoral votes. 306 electoral votes. That is a landslide, ladies and gentlemen, by every meaningful definition. 306 electoral votes and becoming the first Republican in two decades to win the popular vote. This was a landslide. It was a serious butt kicking. He kicked Kamala's teeth in, and it was without any argument. No one could put up any fights or any questioning. His victory was a clear rejection of the failures of the previous administration, and Americans have responded positively to his swift and decisive leadership. They like him. We love the guy. We like what he is doing. We like his vision. We support him. And he is literally to the letter doing exactly what he said he was going to do. So our vote wasn't wasted. Now, from his handling of the transition to the strategic cabinet appointments, which, by the way, is a dream team, a majority of voters have expressed approval, recognizing that Trump is bringing back strong, results-driven governance. We feel comfortable. We feel confident. We feel happy. We know we're going to be prosperous, and we feel safe. Trump approval ratings are through the roof.
And our approval rating is now the highest ever across all demographics. Rasmussen just came out at 56%. Insider Advantage, 56. RMG Research, 57%. And we have many polls in the mid-60s, one at 71%. We like that, 71. And according to YouGov, a big deal, 70% of Americans believe that what we are doing is right and we are keeping our promises.
So, of course, the left-wing media, still reeling from Trump's re-election, continues to refuse reality. They are struggling. They are literally on the struggle bus, right? Struggling to grasp that Americans voted for Trump's policies. Americans wanted this. Americans approve of Donald Trump and all of his policies and the things that he's putting forth. Strong borders, economic growth, energy independence, and a crackdown on corruption. Okay. They approve of Doge. They approve of sending illegal aliens back out of the country. They approve of Elon Musk and what he's doing by the approval of Donald Trump, of course, of having government workers explain how they are contributing to their jobs and to making America great again. The same media that spent years calling Trump unelectable is now incapable of accepting that the public, the people support his return to power. That in itself is truly what they're really struggling with. They thought that they had 4 years to build this very negative narrative around Donald Trump, slamming him at every chance they got. And they just can't seem to accept the fact that the American people actually love him, want him in, and approve of all the actions that he's taking. But the facts don't lie, folks. Voters approve of his handling of key issues like illegal immigration, economic recovery, and national security. The Democrats and their media allies are in full-blown meltdown mode, desperately trying to undermine a president who is simply delivering what the people demanded. It's really just that simple. You tell me what you're going to do. Tell me how you're going to do it. Give me the details. I make up my mind. I do my own research. And then I make a decision at the ballot box. I elect you. I put you in. And now you must deliver what you said you're going to do. That's exactly what we got in Donald Trump. Really simple. This is what winning looks like, folks. And the left hates it. They absolutely detest what's going on. Trump is not just governing. He's governing effectively, undoing the failures of the last administration and pulling America back on top. The liberal media can spin their delusions all they want. They can have at it. But Americans are making it clear. They wanted Trump back. They voted for his leadership. And now they are seeing results. The only ones left in denial are the elitist pundits and radical Democrats who still can't accept that their grip on power has slipped away. It is not slipping away. It has slipped away. It is gone. And you see that in the reflection of the next generations, the younger generations. Particularly, I'm referring to Generation Y and Generation Z, who just absolutely love Trump. Now, Donald Trump's popularity among younger Americans, particularly Gen Z and millennials, is on the rise, marking a shift, a very important shift, because these are the people who will eventually run the country, and they are shifting to the right. They are red-pilled, right? Making a shift in the political landscape that has stunned the mainstream media. Now, a CBS News poll found that a significant 67% of Americans between 18 and 29 are optimistic about his presidency, a stark contrast to previous elections where younger voters leaned heavily Democrat, right? Trump has managed to connect with this demographic by rejecting woke ideology. That was the base of it all, rejecting woke ideology, right? Sticking to common sense, prioritizing economic growth, and presenting himself as the candidate who truly listens to their concerns. Now, many young voters see his leadership as kind of a counterbalance to the chaos of progressive policies that have harmed the economy, which really is important to them, because as they grow up and they go from high school to college and they want to start thinking about, you know, the American dream and having a career and buying a home and building businesses, the economy is very important to them. It's about security and social stability in America. One of the most powerful influences on the shift, it has been social media, where young conservative voices have flourished despite censorship attempts. This is so very important. And Barron Trump had a lot to do with influencing young people, right? We see this young, very good-looking, tall, and influential president's son have influence, telling dad, you know what, go on this podcast and talk to this person and go on this social media post and say this. And it has had an influence. Conservative podcasters, influencers, and commentators, many of whom are part of Gen Z, have used platforms like TikTok, formerly known as Twitter, of course, and YouTube, to push back against the leftist narratives. And young people have tuned in and they're listening. They don't watch TV and cable like we used to in the 70s and 80s. These kids listen to podcasts. These influences have helped reshape the perception of Trump, portraying him as not just a political leader, but more of as a symbol of resistance against the establishment. And young kids, these young people, they love that. Figures like J.D. Vance and other rising Republican leaders have also played a crucial role in energizing young conservatives, proving that the Republican Party is not just the party of older generations, but one that embraces the future. This is the refreshing, missing piece of the Republican Party, right? That young, fresh, having a millennial vice president who can speak to his generation and beyond, who's really close to the next generation, Gen Z. His position puts us in a position to be able to secure a Republican leadership and a Republican governance far into the future.
We're trying to make your life better. And that is the simple thrust of President Trump's policy. We need you, we recognize that we need you, and we're fighting for you every single day.
That is our Vice President, J.D. Vance, speaking to young people at CPAC as they say they're seeing more love for Trump online.
The TikTok audience has grown in conservatism and conservative engagement, and it's gotten bigger and bigger.
I think that all the new conservative influencers who've been utilizing channels like TikTok and Instagram have really connected with the youth.
This community is where conservatives are seeing a lot of the content right now. They see people like Donald Trump on social media, they see influencers, and they really just feel motivated by the future of our country.
This generational shift is not just a temporary trend, but it's a crucial realignment that will shape the future of American politics. Young Americans are realizing that progressive policies have failed them, right? They gave it a try, they gave it a shot, and they just took it way too far. Whether it's the rising cost of living, job market instability, or the relentless push for radical social policies that just simply did not align with their values, with their core values, with how they were brought up, with common sense and those basic fundamental things that they were taught and raised in. Trump and the America First movement offer an alternative that prioritizes prosperity. It prioritizes national security and common sense. Donald Trump won on simple common sense over identity politics and bureaucratic overreach, right? As more young voters wake up to these realities, the Republican Party stands to gain a lasting advantage, setting the stage for conservative leadership for decades to come. It helps to have a Caroline Leavitt, right, as at 27, 28 years old from a younger generation as the leader in the press box, right? That helps quite a bit because they realize that there is a place for them and common sense is still in style, is still in vogue. Joe Biden's presidency has been a disaster. It has been a disaster for America. And more people are realizing it every single day. Prices for food and gas and rent have skyrocketed under that administration. Our border was wide open, allowing millions of illegal immigrants to pour in. You know this. Crime was up and regular Americans felt less safe. Biden's government spends money recklessly. That's what they did, making inflation worse. They spent money
like there was, like it was running water. And instead of fixing these problems, his administration was focused on pushing radical ideas and attacking people who disagree with them. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, President Donald Trump and his leadership brought is going to bring lower costs, safer communities, and energy independence. And Americans will always remember that. They remembered it from his previous stint in the White House, and that's what they are looking forward to this time around. That's why young people, young and old, more people young and old, are supporting Trump, wanting a return to common sense policies that actually help the country, actually pushes them forward, actually inspires them to work and to innovate and to build families and build wealth and leave a legacy for next generation. Biden has also made America look weak. He made us look weak in the world. He pulled troops out of Afghanistan in a disastrous way. He just made one bad decision after another, leaving Americans and allies behind. He sent billions to Ukraine with no accountability, while struggling Americans were ignored. He let China walk all over us, failing to stand up for their unfair trade practices and military threats. The left-wing media tried to cover up these failures, blaming Trump and making excuses for Joe Biden. But the truth is clear. Under Biden, America was weaker, poorer, and more divided. People were tired of being lied to and turning back to Trump. But the truth is clear. Under Joe Biden, America was weaker. America was poorer. And we as a people, as a nation, was more divided. People were tired of being lied to. And they then turned back to Trump because they know he puts Americans first and their interests first and our country first and our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution and our rights and our freedom and our liberties first. It would have been great if Trump had been in office for two terms consecutively. I get that. But his return now is just as important. It's just as significant. He has already done the job before, and he knows how to fix the mess Biden has made. He will bring back strong borders. He's working on that right now. He will bring back affordable energy. He's working on that right now. And he will bring back a booming economy. Absolutely. He's working on that right now. Even better. His leadership is paving the way for future conservative leaders like a J.D. Vance, who can continue these policies for the next 8 years after Trump. Yes, that was me putting my bid in for J.D. Vance to be our next president. Absolutely. The Republican movement is growing, and Biden's failures have helped wake people up to the reality of what bad leadership does to American people and to America as a nation. Americans are done. We are done with the lies and failures of the radical left. Trump's return isn't just about fixing Biden's mistakes, because there's way too many of them. Donald Trump doesn't have time. Okay. It's about putting the country back on the right track for years to come. And people are seeing through the media's attack and Democrat corruption. The support for Trump keeps growing because Americans want their country back. The future is looking bright, folks. And it starts with Trump at the White House again. Now, before we head out, I want to show you this as just a little bit of a remembrance, okay, of election night. It's a perfect way to go out. Watch this.
The yards here at Howard University are now empty. Tens of thousands of supporters of the vice president came to hear what they hoped would be a victory speech. But as state by state was called throughout the evening, people trickled out. And then finally, Cedric Richmond, the chairman of the campaign, said that the vice president would not be coming. She'll be delivering what is almost certain to be a concession speech later on Wednesday. This is a disappointment of epic proportions. As one battleground state after another fell into Donald Trump's hands, supporters here were crestfallen, almost in disbelief. This will take a lot of time to sort out what happened during this 107-day campaign.
Yeah, let that video be the savage truth of the episode. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.